invincible out of the San Siro. We're back on track in the Champions League after one hand against PSV. This was a real team display. Each and every one of them were magnificent out there. Virgil van Dijk played like he had a point. Mel said in commentary, he played like he wanted to show what a leader he is of his team. They were brilliant. Dominic Szoboszlai, wow, what an inspiration. What a season he's having. The Inter Milan manager's been yellow carded, by the way. It was a penalty that Dominic Szoboszlai rammed home late on. It was a VAR intervention. Konaté had a goal controversially ruled out by VAR first half. Florian Wirtz, who came off the bench, was excellent. Bastoni dragged his shirt. They give it as a pen. Szoboszlai made no mistake. What a night for Liverpool. This feels good, doesn't it? Inter Milan 0, Liverpool 1. Get in.
Steve Hunter summing things up perfectly as Liverpool recorded what could well be a season-defining win away at Inter Milan in the Champions League. I'm Peter McDowell. You're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Arne Slot and match winner Dominic Szoboszlai. I was also joined in the LFC TV studio by former Reds Phil Thompson and Neil Mellor and European football expert Kevin Hatchard. Feeling of relief in the studio for you at home is probably tangible, and it will just reflect tomorrow. You'll just have a fantastic day. It just makes everything better when Liverpool win matches.
Well, do you know what, Pete? We haven't had many, have we? And I think it was a proper performance. You know, we've waxed lyrical about sort of Inter and how good they are and how well they're doing in Serie A. And we've done a job tonight. We've played some really good stuff. The first half an hour, nicely in control. And believe it or not, felt quite comfortable. And that's to watch the lads doing that, keep a clean sheet, and to go and look like we could score goals. I think it is. It's been brilliant, and we're on now for 4 hours. So,
because
the other games, you felt like getting off after 15 minutes at the end of some of the games. But fair play to the lads; it was fantastic.
It's a big result.
It is a big result
because I was a little bit fearful before the game because of how good Inter are, and certainly the attack they have. The fact that we nullified them to very little, I don't think they had a shot on target in that second half. I thought Tom had mentioned it. It felt controlled. It felt comfortable. It felt like a really top team performance where everyone knew we had to be at it. We had to be switched on. We had to be alert. And they were. Alisson switched on for one save he had to make, end of the first half. Second half, boxes, balls into the box. Van Dijk, Konaté, they're clearing it. The subs come on and they're at it. Wirtz wins the pen. I've got to be honest. The goal that was disallowed in the first half, it was just, for me, I'm not having that at all. And it wouldn't be happening in the Premier League. But then when he's looking at the penalty, I didn't know what he was looking at until I saw the replay. I was thinking, it was...
So just to rewind a little bit, you were giving the ref a bit of stick at that stage.
We gave the ref a little bit of stick because we didn't know what he was going to give. We thought he might have been booking one of our players. He ended up giving us a pen, so we thought, OK, he's done all right in the end. But it's not a pen for me. For me, people will say it's a shirt pull, but you wouldn't expect that in the Premier League.
Neil, it's like Ibu making that tackle and that's like the ball's going out of play. You're giving the referee a decision to make.
Yeah. Okay,
and you can clearly see the pull of the shirt. We would go mad if it was against us.
Yeah.
But when you see it, you can't do things like that, particularly in the Champions League, you're going like that. And it is, you'd say all day long, because you're giving the referee and the VAR a big decision to make.
I didn't know he was taking the pen. Were you thinking, who's going to take it? Is it McAllister? Yeah. I thought maybe McAllister might have taken the penalty. But the composure from Szoboszlai, because the noise inside the stadium, they were building the pressure, and it felt like a pressure moment. Can you win the game for Liverpool? A couple of steps, and he struck it so sweetly.
You'll have been in that position, you know, as footballers, maybe not taking the penalty, but the most confident player at that time. He was the only choice, wasn't he, Dominic?
Do you know what? It was a fair decision because we really didn't know. We thought it was going to be Wirtz who would take it, and you'd go, yeah, you see
I
that. McAllister, I think somebody said McAllister in the studios, and you go, like, you can see, and then Dominic steps up and you go, but then when you think about it, as you say, the most confident person, the player of our season so far, took it. And as you said, Neil, it was so confidently struck. And I felt we deserved that. We really did. If it had been 0-0, we'd have said, yeah, it was great. But the two substitutions that I think the boss made, I think were absolutely perfect. They were made to go and win the game. Wirtz and Conor Bradley. You go, Conor Bradley's a fullback, but you've seen how forward he got, had a great chance to win it. So fair play to the boss.
Kev Hatchell, by the way, is with us, a European football expert. We spoke so much about Inter in the lead-up to the game. I think they won 14 of the 17 home games. That's a big result, that. Right across Europe, people will be taking notice of Liverpool's win, I think.
I think it's a tremendous result. To reduce a team of that quality to two shots on target, I thought they were outstanding. And I thought, actually, they... Inter in the first half, especially the first half hour, I thought were a lot more respectful of Liverpool than maybe I expected them to be. I thought they were going to push higher, thought they were going to be more aggressive. And the way that Liverpool played slowly forced Inter back. And I think there was a mindset shift from Inter at one stage where they thought, well, actually, we'll drop in and try and hit on the counter and we'll try and do that. And they just weren't able to do it. And I think the fact that Liverpool were calm in possession, solid at the back, I think slowly but surely forced them back. Bastoni wouldn't normally make a mistake like that. But Phil made the point, and he was absolutely right when we were watching the game. A quarter of an hour to go, Inter started to tire and started to look as though they were finding it harder and harder and harder. And that struck me like a tired decision from Bastoni. It's a lazy thing to do, isn't it? To just pull out, you know, pull the shirt. Wouldn't normally do that. So you have to give Liverpool immense credit for the way they played.
Well, Liverpool just seemed to get stronger, Mels. As that game went on, the commitment and organisation was right through to the end.
Yeah, probably been my most enjoyable win I've watched this season. And I was there for the Real Madrid game and I loved that because it was at Anfield. But this was backs against the walls. You know, hasn't been a great time lately. We know all about that. And to come up against a top European side. This is a team that you expect to be in the quarters, maybe even the semis. This is a team who will go deep in this competition. We needed a result, and the lads were together. There was a real balance about the team. There's a real togetherness. They were fighting for each other. The tackles were flying in. And I love to see that commitment. I really saw a team that were saying, we're right behind each other here. We're all in this together. It felt like a great win.
Well, we said that before the game, Gary and myself. You know, the players have to stand up and go, we're together. We're not fractured. We're together and we're going to go out there. And it was a big, big game just for... And the biggest word is character. We showed character in all positions, everybody. And you said we looked together. And I think when we are together, we're a good team. Mm. We're a good team because a lot this season, we have looked fractured. You know, the back players have not been linking with the midfield players. The midfield players not supporting the back lads. The front lads not taking enough chances. And I just think everything clicked. It was as comfortable as I would think, playing against a top European team. It was as comfortable it will get. Yeah, we had some hairy moments. But you'd expected that tonight. But there wasn't many.
But I think for once the fine margins went Liverpool's way, right? Because you had Calhanoglu, who makes this team tick. He goes off with an injury. Yeah. Zielinski, I thought, did well, but he's a ball carrier rather than what Calhanoglu can do to you, which is just keep moving that ball, passing range, strikes the ball from range. There was that free kick that Barella hit wide. That, I think, if Calhanoglu's on it, is a much more difficult proposition for Alisson. And then you have Acerbi go off, so then they have to reorganise and they have to bring Akanji into the centre and put Bissek out wide. So that just disrupted them as well. And then you have the penalty. Sometimes that can go for you, sometimes it can't. So for once, they went Liverpool's way.
Yeah, but did you think that it wasn't? Because like we lose the goal, don't we, that gets choked off from Konate. And you go, oh, is there any more things that can go wrong for us? But it pepped them up.
Kevin, yeah, but they hung in there in that spell. That was Inter's best spell, I
thought it was after that. That'd give them a lift as though, this is going to be our
momentum
game.
This has gone
our way. And they seemed to come into it and it demoralised us slightly because you were like that. I thought, as you said, Mel, I thought it was a horrible decision and it was hard. They went for that long that I thought, well, just leave it, the referee's on-field decision. If it was not clear and obvious, I thought it was absolutely...
I think that's a problem in the game at the moment for understanding the rules. Former players, we watch the game, players playing. No one knows. No one knows what the officials are going to get. That's a problem for the game. Because if people are saying to us that would be allowed in the Premier League and it's not allowed in the Champions League, that can't be good for the game.
That can't be right.
4.5 minutes to look at it as well. We're saying we don't want this. VAR was brought in to clear things up very quickly. And so for me, there was a big frustration. it almost looks like they're trying to find a reason to disallow the goal. And it hits his arm, it's from point blank range. The handball law, it's just a real big, confusing, frustrating point. And I'm glad we scored, because we'd have been looking back on that and going, what might have been, although a point would have been a decent point.
I know you'll probably do it on the analysis show tomorrow, but that's meant to be an exemption from the rule if you headed against the teammate's arm, even if it's outstretched. You know, in the Premier League, that goal probably would have stood after it's gone to VAR. Yeah. But I think the problem that we find with this is when it takes 4 minutes, it kills it as a viewing experience if you're a neutral, doesn't it? Why does it take that long?
Well, my understanding of VAR, and we'll all have our own opinion on that, was it's been brought in to make decisions that the referee hasn't seen on field and make them quick. So it's a case of, I've missed that. You look at it once, you look at it again and confirm it. To see all these VAR decisions that are so subjective, a lot of them, it's questioning a lot of rules. It's making us all confused about what are the actual rules. And to take too long and to look and to look and to look, it's just not been a good addition for how it's been used. Some decisions have been right, but that was a great example of how it hasn't been used properly for me.
So it was a clear and obvious mistake. No, I don't think so. So you're going 4.5 minutes trying to search to chalk it off. I think they should have, if they're going that long and they really couldn't find anything, surely they should have said, on-field decision, goal.
I think they were trying to find the angle. That what it felt like to me, they were cycling through loads of different angles because you felt like they always had the suspicion there was something there, but they literally couldn't see it. So we're moving through all the different angles and eventually found one.
Can I
wouldn't have ruled it out, but I can, and I think VAR is too intrusive, personally.
Can I ask you, because you watch a lot of the European football, and it was doing my head in tonight, I'll be honest, the amount of Inter Milan players that were crowding around the referee. Now, it's been stopped in the Premier League. It's the captain that goes up, and Martinez was behaving like Bruno Fernandes at times, around the referee. But his teammates were around the referee all the time, as if that's acceptable. We've come to accept you're not allowed to do that in the Premier League. So is that quite a normal thing to see?
Not always. I think, you know, Martinez, as the captain, has that right to do that, but you're right. They were crowding the referee at times.
Who did they want to get sent off? Was it Curtis Jones?
Curtis Jones
to be sent off.
Yeah. So, you know, you are going to get that from time to time. I don't think it's a blanket thing. I think in Germany, for example, the idea is supposed to be, and this is what we've been told in seminars before the season started, the captain speaks. Anybody else, if they push it too far, they'll get the yellow card. But some referees will be lax on that and others won't be. So you don't have that uniformity that I think we'd all like.
The horrible thing is that we're moaning is it was Curtis who got fouled. that was the daft thing. And yet they were all running over, get him sent off. There must have been about four or five who were surrounding the referee. Yeah. Yes, I get it about the captain, but the captain can't remonstrate the way he was doing it.
Well, it's not like Paquetar from the other day, where that went on for about a minute and everybody was trying to push him away. And it just carried on. Yeah, exactly, and just carried on. So it wasn't anything like that. But look, I think the fact that Inter felt that they were at that stage having to do that kind of thing, it felt like a game that was slipping away from them. And I think they got that sense because they were finding chances so hard to come by, weren't able to progress the ball forward as quickly as they would usually like. They'd abandoned that high press completely, I felt, and were trying to hit on the counter instead. So that comes from a really energetic, solid away performance.
Let's take a look at how the rest of the evening went as well around Champions League. We'll also take a look in a second as to how this affects Liverpool going forward. But mixed night in Europe, therefore, for the English teams, Atalanta 2, Chelsea 1, João Pedro opening up the scoring there. Spurs 3, Slavia Prague 0. And of course, Liverpool face Spurs in a couple of weeks. They are turning up the heat a little bit, aren't they? You know about tonight, Barcelona 2, Frankfurt 1, PSV 2, Atletico 3. And that team that nobody can pronounce apart from Kev Hatchard 2. Marseille 3.
Union Saint-Gilloise?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Monaco 1, Galatasaray 0. The other score of note, I should say, and that is how it affects the round of 16. So it looks an awful lot healthier than it did prior to kickoff tonight. How does that affect the overall picture, do you think, from a Liverpool perspective, Kev?
I think, obviously, it gives them a great opportunity to make that top eight. But I think it's more important than that in the season in general. I think to go...
Yeah.
to go to Milan, to play like that against a team like Inter, who I genuinely do think are the best team in Italy, to restrict them to two shots on target, to do it with players injured, to do it in the circumstances they have in the build-up to the game, I thought was terrific. I thought it was a really solid performance. Alisson's save from Martinez is huge late in that first half. If that goes in, it's a completely different game because you're thinking, oh, we've played quite well and we've competed, we're 1-0 down again. But actually, to get to half-time at 0-0 and then to build on that in the way they did, that's the classic away performance from a top team. And I think it will make other top teams in Europe think, oh, OK, maybe they're not as wounded as we thought. Yeah.
I think that's a good point because we've beaten Inter away. We've beaten Atletico and Real Madrid. And all three of them teams we've beaten, you'd say, you'd fancy a few, if not all, to be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. So I think it's a message to the rest of Europe that we can get it right and we're capable. Consistently, not domestically at the moment in the league. We've sort of been a little bit hit and miss, but it's about peaking after Christmas, isn't it? You think about PSG, they weren't great in the group stages last year.
And really, Neil, what we were saying on Saturday, it was three games unbeaten. We're now four games unbeaten. It's little steps we need to build on. Now we've got the game on Saturday and we need to be ready. We need to, because that's what's expected of them. So fantastic results. Just let's keep it going.
And let's take a look at the stats as well for tonight, which will show Liverpool's baby steps, but also the dominance in there as well. More shots for Liverpool tonight, you will notice. And it was, you know, nothing to pick between the two teams in terms of possession. So they are the telling statistics on a night like this. Just one goal, innit?
Yeah, Inter couldn't control the game in the way they would have wanted to. I thought Thuram wasn't able to impose himself physically in the way that he'd normally like to do. As we say, Calhanoglu went off early. That stopped Inter being able to control things in the way that sometimes they might. And I do think they found it increasingly difficult as the game wore on. Yes, Martinez has that shot that goes just wide of the far post. But again, he's having to work incredibly hard just to get that shot away. So again, a really controlled performance with a lot of really encouraging game management. I think sometimes when you go behind and you're chasing a game all the time, it becomes chaotic. It becomes really difficult to actually have any kind of control in the game at all. I thought the way Liverpool managed the game in chunks as it went on, I thought was really impressive.
It's interesting there, Curtis Jones, all those stats on Curtis. That's quite obvious to me how influential he's become. I thought he was our man of the match against Leeds. I thought he was impressive. I know a lot of people about Dominic, but I thought Curtis Jones was, and tonight he's done it again. You look at those stats and what he's brought to the game, I think he was absolutely terrific.
I think we've got his touch map actually, Curtis Jones, because this will be a big night. It'll be one that he's really pleased with. He's been frustrated in so many performances where he's been really impressive in Europe this season.
Do you know where he's
just
been
shows
great,
he was all over the place.
Do you know where he's been great? In tight situations, keeping possession of the ball. He's looked strong on the ball, turning in tight areas, which is so important to go forward, to get beyond the lines. And you look at that, that's quite sensational.
That screams to me, brave. You know, in terms of it, he was excellent against Leeds. We dropped 2 points. The lads would have been thinking, oh, this is a tough game tonight. The atmosphere, they're absolutely up into Milan thinking they can beat us. He's brave to want to get on the ball in tight areas. He doesn't panic at all. So I thought he was outstanding. I thought they all were in there. You know, him, McAllister, Gravenberg, I thought was outstanding. What position was Szoboszlai playing? Because he was absolutely everywhere, wasn't he?
Yeah. 67 completed passes of the 70 he attempted, Curtis Jones.
Wow.
Is that just a case of him stringing those games together? He's another one that falls into that category of, you know, so much promise and then he'll pick up a niggle and miss three games.
Yeah, and I get that, the way people look at him. So all the time he keeps coming in, seems like he's got to keep proving himself to everybody, and I deserve it, because, you know, people go on about Ryan and Dominic and Alexis. They're the threat. This boy's breaking that mould. This boy is making it said that, no, I should be playing, because what he's doing and he's shown in the games is that he can break those lines, he can get that ball in that tight area and turn. The way you see a lot of other players, other top players in other teams. And I think he's done that and he's shown, hey, no, I can be in this team by my own right. I thought he's been terrific.
I think there's only an injury that'll take him out of the team.
I totally agree.
To himself, because of how well he's playing. And like you say about breaking that midfield three, it felt like, who can? I don't see him as a squad player. I see him as a first team player. I go, right, yeah, absolutely. Mm. I see if his name isn't on the team sheet now for the weekend, I'd be surprised. I think he must have got a niggle because of how well he's playing. He's enjoying himself.
But at times, the thing that can stop Curtis being a better player is Curtis, because sometimes he gets carried away by how well he plays, and we all talk about him. And
you
then the next game,
I'm
going forward. He's got to make sure not I do it again and again, because sometimes he has that extra touch. Tonight it was extra touch, the right touches in the right areas.
But this is how you build momentum as a team, right? Because you need that competitive tension. It can't just be, oh, you've got those three midfielders and they're set in stone. It can never be like that, because it has to be that you're on your toes all the time. And I think that's what, for example, Inter are trying to get now. They're trying to get some of these kids through to push the likes of Thuram and Martinez and some of those midfielders, because for a long time you knew what that Inter midfield was going to be. So they've brought in Sucic and guys like that, and that's where Liverpool always have to be at. That every position you look at on the pitch, you think, well, actually, you know, apart from Alisson, who's, you know, as good as there is, but you look at all those positions and think, okay, well, you do need to be pushed, and you do need to earn your place in every single game if you can.
The one place that you will not gain from somebody is Dominic Szoboszlai at the moment, who, you know, the lads were talking about it before, can play any position. You know,
phenomenal.
He's 8-9 out of 10 every week, steps up in the crucial moment, wins the game for his team.
Yeah, and I watched him a lot for Salzburg and for Leipzig, and the thing that was really interesting about him is that, A, the energy. I mean, you come through that kind of Salzburg-Leipzig school. They play a very similar type of football, those two. There's a lot of the same kind of coaching ideas. Really vertical, really hard-running football. So he came to Liverpool with all that stuff wired in. He downloaded it all already. And so I think he's just grown in confidence. He trusts his technique more now, I think. The way he strikes the ball is just unbelievable. I mean, the penalty, for example, you're talking about a goalkeeper that's saved from Kylian Mbappe at a major tournament. Mm. You know, Jan Sommer is a really good penalty killer, has been for a long, long time. And he goes the right way. And it's not in the corner, but he's absolutely smashed the thing. And I think he should score more goals. And then the goal he scored at Elland Road at the weekend, great example of that, because you expected him to absolutely leather it. He just passes it into the corner. I think there's a lot more to come from him. I think he's taken on that extra responsibility from being the Hungary captain. I think there's a world-class midfielder in the making there, if he's not there already. Mm. I think he's a really exciting talent.
That's Liverpool's latest ever away goal in Champions League, by the way, Dominic Szoboszlai. Let's take a look at his heat map, winning goal, I should say, the one that settled the game tonight. Melzi's, you kind of run out of superlatives in a time where adversity has been the consistent part of Liverpool's season. He has been Mr. Consistent.
Yeah, he has. He's played in positions maybe that he's not wanted to, but has done for the good of the team. You know, Kev's mentioning there about he's getting to levels now where he's been spoken about as one of the best midfield players in world football. And that's because of the consistency that he's given this Liverpool team time and time again. And you can see his heat map there. Yes, he's in good areas in the opposition half and sort of right to centre, but he'll get back defensively. How many times do you see him back defensively thinking that Szoboszlai in his own box getting back? And it's credit to him that he's a football player who's enjoying himself at the level he's found himself, and the game just can't come quick enough for him. He'll be desperate for the next game, and it's enjoying these games, being able to influence such a big game like this against Inter Milan.
Future captain.
Big shout.
You see it, and I know you got Virgil and maybe Robbo. This guy plays every week. He's as we said with Curtis, but this fella has been our best player by quite a distance. And you see, look at his face the other night against Leeds. There was a clip. He was furious after the game. And that's what you want. You want your players, particularly your big players, your leaders. And I can see, obviously, in the next couple of years, he stays. You can see him a captain in the making. Mm. And I think it will. I think he'll be a good leader.
There was a moment right at the end of the game where Bradley takes one for the team. He nips the ball away and gets clattered as he does it. First person over to congratulate him is Szoboszlai, because he recognised you've taken a whack there to just release the pressure and give us a few extra seconds. And I think you started to see that at Leipzig. He started to take on more and more responsibility. He started to become one of their leaders on the pitch, which was quite a young team as well. And I think he has developed so, so well. And it's not just about the ball striking and the passing and the energy. It's those intangibles. It's that leadership. It's that he will slide in with a challenge. He will spark other players into life. And he never, ever hides either.
Do you know what?
That's so important.
Do you know what, Kev? When he first arrived, for 2 or 3 months, he was, wow.
Yeah.
You go, what have we got here? You've seen all that energy. You've seen the shots from distance all the time. And then he fell off a cliff. Just around about the November, December, he fell off a cliff and you thought, where's that player gone? It was like a learning process. And all the adulation and the talking, I knew Steven Gerrard, and it seemed to affect him. Now it doesn't. Now it's whatever you say, I'm still going to play. I'm still going to dominate in areas of this pitch, and I'm going to accept responsibility on the pitch with the ball. And I think he's done ever so well in that to be so consistent.
Mm-hmm. Accepting responsibility on the pitch, he's played 90 minutes of all of Liverpool's 21 games this season. The first to do that in 21 games since Steven Gerrard in 2012, so it kind of backs up the claims that Tomo was making there just before. So claiming credit and taking responsibility off the pitch and on it as well. Let's hear from Dominic Szoboszlai, who's been talking to Rob Jones.
Dom, well done for all sorts of reasons. How big a win does that feel like?
Oh, it feels very good, especially in this kind of moments. We fought as a team, we fight until the end, we never gave up, and at the end, the hard work pays off. So that's what we did, and take the 3 points home.
Take me through that little period in and around the penalty, because VAR checks for players must be so difficult when you're not quite sure exactly what's going on.
No, we just waited for the decision. To be honest, I wasn't really involved. I just focused on myself because I knew if it's a pen, I'm gonna take it. So that's what was in my head.
And was always the plan to put a decent amount of power behind it?
Always.
is it difficult when you don't take them regularly, or is it something you still practice quite often in and around the training ground?
No, I almost when we don't have a game, I practice every day. Yeah, finally I could take it, hopefully I can take even more.
Felt like the midfield as a whole worked tonight. How has that changed? Because it's almost sometimes a diamond, sometimes a little bit of a box.
Yeah, it's different how we used to play, but against Leeds it was quite okay. Unfortunately, at the end we conceded a set piece, but I don't think it was about any formation or something. The gaffer puts us in this formation, then we have to perform in this formation. If it does something different, then we have to do something different. But that's, we talk about it, and then now it worked.
Does it feel like a formation that allows you to just control the game a little bit better in that area?
Well, actually, it doesn't really matter how we play. If we control the game, we can control in any position, any situation, because we have the quality, we have the players for it. So we change now for this, and let's see what we're going to do on the Saturday.
How significant was a clean sheet tonight, because there have been few and far between this season?
No, it was very important. But that's what we talked about. We need everybody, not only the defenders. It starts from the striker, then the midfielders, and then the defenders. Then we still have Ali, so if everybody gives their best, then it's really hard to score against us, and that we showed it many times, not maybe in the last couple of weeks or month, but we are on it.
Just finally then, a couple of disappointing results in the Champions League so far this season, but a win like this, does this give you the confidence that after Christmas come back and still grab a top eight place?
Yeah, of course, that's our job and our plan. So now focus on the Premier League a little bit longer, and then the Champions League are going to come back next year.
Well done tonight.
Well, he speaks almost as well as he plays. No Liverpool player has been involved in more goals this season than him. 5 assists, 5 goals. And he says all the right things as well. There's nothing not to love about this fella.
Yeah, I mean, he's a leader for Hungary. He's really embraced that. I think he's really embracing being a leader for Liverpool. And I think that is important, that he's getting those attacking numbers as well, because we know about the running power, we know about all of those kind of defensive parts of the game, we know he can play different positions, but you need to be scoring more goals, making more goals, and he has that. He absolutely has that in his locker. You look at the delivery that he's capable of from set plays, from open play, he should be racking up those assists, and you look at how he can strike from range, how he can finish, it'll all come. I'm convinced of it. I think you're looking at a really special player in the making.
No, did you hear what he said? And it was not when it was all clean sheet. How does that go down? You know, it's and he went, well, yeah, it's nice having a clean sheet, but it's down to us all to do our defensive stuff, which is me obviously press and do things like that. So he's like including everybody in the clean sheet, not just the defenders and Ali. It was us all. We all had to chip in.
How does that feel as footballers when you've dug in as deep as that and you get a 1-0, you're aching getting back on the bus again? It must almost feel better than a 5 or a 6-0 convincing win.
I think there's nothing better. The feeling of winning a game, especially a game where you're not expected to win. As good as we know we are, we knew that was a tough test tonight. Maybe the Real Madrid, they might have had a similar sort of feel. And again, that one tonight. We haven't had that feeling too often. They had it a lot last season. And they really enjoyed that feeling. And we haven't had it enough this season. So I think it'll be a case of looking around the dressing room and thinking, enjoyed that. Mm. You've all played your part tonight. And as a player, that's what it's about. And it gives everyone renewed belief and confidence. And I think Kev mentioned the word before, momentum. All of a sudden you said 4 and beat, and it's like, okay, well, here we go. Let's start going, because that is a big result tonight.
Yeah, we beat Eintracht Frankfurt 5-1. But it's not like that. And you can imagine the plane journey home. Yeah, the Real Madrid game was massive, huge, against a really, really top European side. So was this. So the journey, that going home, and all what's gone on for the last sort of 4 or 5 days, that'll feel massive.
They're staying
that'll
over tonight. Do they get a cheeky pint on?
I think you know the answer to that these days.
Did you let us know?
What would you say to that, Tom?
Your pint.
Just one.
No, it's listen, these are more professional than what we were, you know. We'd go and quite enjoy a drink with all the press as well, Peter.
Yeah, you can't trust
and nobody those and nobody would report anything.
It used to be that they were allowed a bottle of beer, and I think it might have been or a dessert. A bottle of beer or a dessert, and that's a tough decision, isn't it?
After a win.
What you go for, yeah.
A bottle of beer or a dessert. Mm.
Depend on the dessert, wouldn't it, really? Yeah. It was a tough choice.
No, there's no choice.
He's of a certain generation, there is no choice.
Absolutely.
One interesting thing he said there was that the control has nothing to do with formation. Almost there, that you know, you switched on to the right moments there. It has nothing to do with what kind of shape you play. That's just a mindset, and it was one that they got right tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's guidelines of where the manager, the coach wants them to be, but in and out of possession. They know what they have to be doing for the team. I thought it was a real disciplined performance. I haven't seen Liverpool that compact defensively. I mean, Inter Milan are a free-flowing team who score lots of goals. And they just couldn't create those chances because of how organised Liverpool were defensively. And I've not seen that a great deal this season in terms of that real desire to want to keep a clean sheet. And that's not just the back four, the goalkeeper. That is everyone getting back and saying, you are not getting spaces to create the chances. One chance they had, and that was that Martinez header. That was it. And this is a side who they've scored in every game except one. Every single game except one. And that was when they missed the pen, they bit the post, the goalie's had a worldie. Alisson's had a worldie.
It was
he's had one moment and he's made a big save.
It was harsh on Joe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what I'm saying, harsh on Joe, because when it goes on to him, he says, me, I played well tonight. Why are you bringing me off? But it shows the boss had something in his mind. Obviously, yeah. Connick coming back from injury, didn't want to risk him in this game, knew he had to be defensive sound, but then brings Connor into the equation to go and try and win the game. And I thought it worked perfectly, and I think he had that in his mind before the game.
Yeah, he was involved, wasn't he, straight away. Let's just take a look at the average positions before and after the substitutes as well, because I think that was key, wasn't it, Kev, that you know there was a marked change here, that he saw there was an opportunity to win the game, Arne Slot.
Yeah, absolutely, because as soon as Conor Bradley comes on, he's driving them back the other way. He was dynamic. He was trying to burst into the penalty area. He had one of the best chances when Zoma makes the save. So you see here, you know, he's getting up on that right-hand side, and they found it really difficult to deal with him. And more importantly, he's pushing back Bastoni and the left-sided wing-back, because Bastoni, especially in the first half, I thought, was picking up some really good positions in that kind of inside left channel, in that half space. It's his cross that leads to Martinez's header late in the first half. So if you do that and you bring on somebody like Connor, who will rampage forward and he will push you back, that has two advantages then, because not only is he getting into the box, he's stopping them getting forward. And what it dovetailed with was this idea that Inter were starting to tire. And if you bring him on, who's got so much energy, that's the last thing you want to defend against.
Can I just say something? Hopefully this gives us a bit of confidence. We've struggled all season against five at the back. We really have, of how we play and how we sort of break teams down. I thought tonight will have given us confidence of how we go about it. You've seen maybe it developing, how you can push people back with the substitutions. We found ways of how to play against a back five tonight, particularly with the more diamond shape in the midfield. And I think going forward now, because more of the lesser teams all play five at the back and they all defend deep and it's down to us to break them down. I think tonight we've done it. Tonight, not absolutely, had tons and loads of chances, but it was nice to see.
But that midfield as well is about, we were talking about, and Dominic Szoboszlai said it's not about set formations, and it isn't, because that's just how you start, it's not how the game goes. You look at Curtis Jones's touch map, you look at, we were saying Szoboszlai was everywhere. It's about those rotations and sniffing out danger where it is. And if you've got the opportunity to get out tight spaces and get up the pitch, which Curtis did brilliantly, then you're affecting the game. So it isn't just staying stock still in your positions, it's about those rotations. So what Inter do brilliantly generally in midfield, you know, Barella will be constantly moving, making those third man runs, trying to get in deep. They weren't able to do that because they weren't able to get any kind of momentum at all because Liverpool played so well in midfield. It was an excellent away performance.
There's a little bit of a protecting job going on as well tonight. I mean, you look at the bench, there are only three senior players on the bench, two goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. He's mindful of the fact that Conor Bradley's coming back from injury. Florian Wirtz to play three games in 10 days. So he had to protect Wirtz, didn't he? Because there's a big period coming up now where he's going to need him probably every single week.
Yeah, there is. And it's felt like it's been a really busy period. The game on Brighton, I think it's the first time we'll have a week to have a breather before the next game, which is Tottenham, and it's felt like a long time since we've had that, and that might just enable a few sort of wounded bodies just to get themselves ready to be available for selection. I mean, Chiesa would have been involved, but for being ill, and you're just hoping that illness doesn't spread to any other players, you know, before the game on Saturday. I think the game being Tuesday helps as well. You know, I'm not a fan of seeing teams in the Premier League playing a Wednesday and a Saturday. I think that's something the Premier League shouldn't allow, but they do. So I think that extra day will certainly help. But yeah, I mean, the squad was a little bit thin tonight, and that's the reality of picking up one or two injuries. The lads who were on the pitch stood up and gave a magnificent account of themselves.
Let's take a look at the impact of Florian Wirtz when he came on the pitch as well. We got his heat map here, his touch map, I should say. 24 touches. Mels will know better than me on this. You don't get an assist for a penalty, do you?
Should do.
You're not involved.
McAllister should have got one at the weekend for the over.
Does he get a touch there for the pull on the shirt? On the penalty
spot? Wins the penalty.
Oh, yeah, he will do, because he had Ekitike does brilliantly, actually, because he flicks the ball over the top, which is a very Ekitike thing to do.
He takes
finds Wirtz, and that forces Bastoni to pull him back. That, for me, is a very Wirtz touch map, because he will pull out to that left-hand side, but he's constantly trying to combine with players, he's constantly trying to make things happen. We've just been talking for ages about Szoboszlai, a player that came in, brilliant to start with, then had that dip and came back. That often happens with players who come from the Bundesliga or from a different league, because it is quicker and it is more physical, and it, especially Wirtz, he's used to having a certain amount of time to do certain things, and he comes in and it's like, oh wow, this is quick, isn't it? And it's always going to take a little bit of time, but I've seen him so much in for Germany, for Leverkusen. All the little things he does are still there, and even in games where he hasn't really affected the game, they're still there, the little combinations, the little ideas. Physically he's found it tough, I think, but he's getting there, and I'm 100% convinced that he's going to be a really effective player for Liverpool. It might take a bit of time, but he will absolutely get there. He's phenomenally talented. Mm.
He's come on that pitch and you've seen his touch, man. How long was he on? 20 minutes?
It wasn't long, yeah.
20 minutes, 15 minutes. how many of them were in their half as touches, and it shows that we weren't sort of sitting deep and trying to sort of soak up pressure, and he's having to come on and do his running sort of in ours. You see all that there as well, what, 2, 4, 5 touches in our own half. So you can see how well we've actually controlled the football match and controlled it in their half.
I think he's the sort of football player that fans want to watch.
He's a fantastic player.
He's just a player. Absolutely fantastic player. He can do on the pitch, out on the left, in the central position as a 10. He's just a player who can make things happen. And I bet Ekitike and Isak are thinking, want him on the pitch.
Yeah.
Because you know he'll make it happen. And okay, slow in terms of numbers, goals, assists. But there's some player there.
But he tries things. That's what I love about him. You can see his brain, like, he's fizzing. He's always thinking, right, how can I get us an assist? How can I get us a goal? How can I make something happen? And he keeps on going. If he gets knocked down, he keeps on going. He doesn't hide in the game. He always wants the ball. Ekitike is a bit like that as well. And I think those two eventually are going to have an amazing click. Isak will get there as well. I'm sure about that. But Ekitike is such a wonderful player to watch. I thought he played really well at times, just occupying defenders and just keeping the ball really good.
Just to say as well, it's good that they both play together. So it's not him or me, because all of a sudden it can become a little bit of a rivalry. So it was good to see they can both play together. The team can play with both of them on the pitch. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
So do you think that would have been, I mean, when you see the commitment financially that you make to, you know, the two players that we've talked about there, and Wirtz in such detail there as well, all three of them have to be on the pitch, don't they? You know, that would have been the eventual plan.
Well, that's the nice way of looking at it, but it gives you options. And I think we were all thinking, where is Isak and Ekitike both going to play? Will they all play together? It'd be lovely to see if they could, because I don't think Ekitike has done anything wrong for him to be left out in other games. But you understand that Isak needs games, needs to get up to speed, and we're seeing that coming. So it's nice to see the two of them get on the pitch today at the expense of Florian.
What's it going to take for Alexander Isak to really hit that vein of form? Mels, we saw him score that brilliant goal against West Ham. Is it just a run of games, or will he have that feeling now that it is starting to come back? Look sharper again today, I mean, that will come, won't it, with each game that he plays?
Yeah, chances as well. You know, I've watched him and I've seen his movement isn't quite where he wants it to be, so he's not having the chances. You know, how many chances has he had? Not many. You know, the finish against West Ham was a brilliant finish. How many other chances did he have in the game? Not many. So I feel as though the more the movement starts becoming freer and more natural and developing an understanding, don't forget. You know, with Wirtz, Szoboszlai, Ekitike, developing that understanding to see, where do we need to make that run? Because he's been at Newcastle for a few years, and whoever it was it Murphy providing the ammunition? Now he's got a different sort of ammunition coming, and it's developing that understanding. But he is a finisher. What was it, 10 months ago, people were saying he's one of the best strikers in Europe. That's still there, and that will come. Goals always help.
Because he spoke about that profile, didn't he, that he had at Newcastle. That will help when Conor Bradley is fully fit and Jeremy Frimpong is back in the team. Frimpong, another player that you've seen an awful lot of in Bundesliga last season. Could those two tie in to a great extent to maybe give Alexander Isak that little push that he needs?
Yeah, it's about service. He does want that service from wide areas, and I think we saw against West Ham there were moments where the ball could have come in earlier maybe, or a different type of cross, and maybe that creates something for him. Frimpong's a really interesting one because he's a ball carrier. That's what he is. He's incredibly quick. He's incredibly dynamic. He's played most of his career as a wing back rather than a full back, so that's the interesting conundrum Arne Slot's going to have to solve when he's fit. How do I get the best out of him if he's going to be a right back? How can we kind of create a structure that will allow him to do that without being compromised on that side? He can also play winger.
Yeah.
I've also seen him play as a forward, because Xabi Alonso used to do that in big games. He wouldn't pick a Patrick Schick or a standard number 9. He used to like really quick guys who would press. So he would pick him or Teller or Adley, guys like that, who were really quick. So not saying he's necessarily going to do that, but it shows he's got that versatility. I think with Wirtz as well, when he clicks with the centre forward, as he did with Schick, there was a stage where he was making a goal for Schick pretty much every game. That's going to be the exciting bit, when he either clicks with Ekitike or Isak or both. Once they get that understanding, that's when it really starts to spark and the magic happens.
That's a good point, isn't it? I mean, these partnerships at the moment, now everybody touch wood, seems to be close to fully fit. You know, this is where the partnerships are really going to start to click into motion.
We've seen some wonderful ones, haven't we? Steven Gerrard, Torres, Suarez, see Bobby and Sadio and Mo. All sort of, they had something. You go back here in the Toshak, you know, Dalglish and Rush, and somewhere when all of a sudden it starts, you go, ooh, we've got something here. Maybe it wasn't sort of planned too much, but it works. And I think we'll see that. I think I've always said, in watching Florian Wirtz, we were talking to Kevin about him, and I said, this boy, the first games that he played, trying to glide past people the way he does, he just drifts past them. Oof, and he was falling to the ground. He didn't have that physical, the strength to cope in the Premier League. The last sort of five or six games that I've seen him play, he's gliding past people. He's keeping possession as he's getting hit. And that shows how he's physically getting used to the Premier League.
He's tough.
No, but I think it was too tough for him.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think he was fully fit. I don't think the pre-season suited him. And I think come after 60 minutes, he was done. And then he was just wandering around on the pitch.
I think the temptation is sometimes with him, because of the way he plays, you don't necessarily think, well, is he going to be physically competitive? That's the thing. I mean, there was a challenge in the Bournemouth game with Semenyo, and he nearly needed a ticket to get back in because he bounced him that far. But you almost saw him learning from those things, and I think Tom was right. I think he's getting it. I think he will have gone away and thought, right, what do I need to do? How do I need to play quicker, be a bit more robust physically? But there's a real competitor in there. Like, he will quite happily give a bit of chat. He'll quite happily take on a defender. He'll quite happily have a bit of a battle. He's not the biggest, but he's got a big heart. And I think we'll start to see that part of it as well as the season goes on.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Federico Chiesa.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
You never walk alone.
Away end was bouncing. The fans will be already thinking about Brighton at Anfield. I mean, I'm just looking at the run of form now. So Brighton Saturday, week's recovery. There's a week between the games. Then the trip to Spurs, another tricky one. Wolves and Leeds at home, back to back. Then they've got a favourable FA Cup draw against lower league opposition. You know, this is a run now, isn't it? This is a run that Liverpool can get on and really reverse the form that we've seen this season.
Yeah, but this has to be the start of something, not the end. It has to be. I mean, I know we've had the three games before, but now it's about stretching that out to five games, six games, seven games, eight games, and really starting to get that confidence, that momentum, because this has been a phenomenal performance, a great result. If Brighton go to Anfield and win, a lot of that luster disappears. So, but they will know that, and they'll be the fact that they're already excited about playing the next game. And Brighton are a really good side, I think a very good coach with some excellent players, but they are beatable, and we've seen that, and they do give up too many goals, I think. They give up chances. So there's every chance of winning that game, but it is just now about stringing those wins together. But just on Robertson, I was just going to say quickly, what a luxury to have the captain of Scotland as a rotation option for your left-back position. And you can, you know, Luis Enrique, who played right wing-back for Inter, was barely mentioned. Barely saw him in the game because he was just completely shut down on that side. And it wasn't just about what Liverpool did with the ball, it was without it as well. And it just negated so many of the things that Inter do well.
Mm. I think the crowd will play a part on Saturday.
Yeah.
I really do. I think the crowd,
what they'll sense that the players need.
The togetherness. The togetherness. Yeah. You know, at times, you know, it's Brighton at home. It's not a rival in terms of Arsenal City, but I just feel as though the crowd know the part they can play on the weekend. You saw the togetherness from the team there, and they'll need the fans to get going. I still believe the first goal will be vital at Anfield against Brighton. I feel as though we've conceded the first goal in too many Premier League games this season, and the crowd can really help them, because Brighton, they've had a free week, they're not playing in Europe, They've got some very dangerous players who can cause us problems. They'll give us chances, but I can't wait to be there at Anfield. It'll be a good atmosphere.
It's what we do as fans. We get it right. We sense the club needs the support, and I think everybody will look at that and go, right, I'm going to get behind our team, our football club, and make sure we make it a proper good atmosphere. Mm. And I think they deserve it. The boys, they've given a great performance tonight. So we roll on to Saturday at Anfield.
Knowing nothing at this stage about how players have got through that game tonight, whether there's ever any knocks or anything else, you talk about the momentum. You were sat in with the manager tomorrow as his assistant manager. Would you say same again, or would you be looking to tweak it a little bit? No, Conor Bradley, of course, involved.
Yeah, I think obviously back in the day you'd just quite easily bang, go same for again. It. Now there's stats, there's people who are looking at every involvement in the game, and I think they'll have a good look at it. They'll tend to, because we said it before, it'd be great coming back on that plane, but it's a couple of thousand mile, and they've got to come back, and they've all got to be ready. Hopefully, you know, there was one or two there with Connor when he held the back of his leg. Hopefully there was nothing untoward, but he can't play anyway, so
I think Vietz comes back in, but who does he come in for? That's the thing. I'd expect Vietz to start on Saturday.
Yeah.
But who for?
It's who for?
I don't know.
I think it might be the guy
Jeremy,
who came on for.
Is Frimpong? Okay, exactly. Is Frimpong going to be ready?
Frimpong was due to train this week, so imagine he's been working hard at the AXA whilst they've been away. So he probably
maybe half a game.
In with a chance, wouldn't he, of being involved? And that will help Mels as well. The more they can get through, again, you've seen the youthful bench today. You know they're going to have another youthful bench at the weekend as well.
Yeah, and it's a bit unfortunate that Connor picked up that yellow card. So he will be suspended, so that's one less player available for the game against Brighton, despite having played so well coming off the bench. And then the demands of Joe Gomez, is he okay to go again? You know, it's a case of certain players will need more nurturing and getting ready, sort of wrapped up in cotton wool is the phrase that will be used, and maybe Joe Gomez might be one of them players.
Yeah. And with all this talk, this is why you need the fans. Yeah. Because adversity, and you just got to show yourself, and I don't just mean the players, I mean the fans, everything's got to come together.
3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Oh, Liverpool and Everton nice, playing at 3 o'clock. But it was Tomo who pointed that out before. Let's take a look at what we are in store for this coming weekend as well. So slim pickings on Saturday. You might have to find something else to do either side of Liverpool's game against Brighton. Everton with that tough looking game at Chelsea. Burnley, Fulham, Arsenal, Wolves is the 8 o'clock kickoff. They need to do away with them 8 o'clock Saturday night kickoffs.
Agreed.
And then Sunday is a full programme. Crystal Palace, Man City at 2 o'clock. Forest against Tottenham is at 2 o'clock as well. As is Sunderland, Newcastle, West Ham, Aston Villa. And then the 4:30 is Brentford against Leeds United. Monday night football consists of Man United, Bournemouth. Best looking fixture there apart from ours, Kev?
Sunderland, Newcastle, I would say. That's going to be tasty. I'm going to be on commentary for that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. I think the Brighton game's really interesting. We were talking about who we might pick for that starting 11. Certainly in those fullback positions, if Joe Gomez is fit, obviously because Connor's suspended anyway, but I might be tempted to go with him anyway. Mm. Because Brighton have such a wide threat. If you had Robertson on one side and Gomez on the other, that just negates that a little bit and just gives you a bit of a safety first option in those wide areas.
Is Matoma fit? He was a player who's been out for a few games, Matoma. They're talking about he might be available for this game.
He's always done well against us as well.
He's always done well against us, yeah. Mm. He'll be back available. Talk of that, that's one to be mindful of.
Hopefully we're going to hear from Arne Slot in just a second, but obviously the result was the all-important thing tonight, Tomo, but the fact that they played as well as they did.
Yeah, I get huge. That. I think we'd have all accepted a draw. Mm. A 0-0 draw would have been absolutely ideal. I'd like to think it was the performance. They've showed that load of players out there that they want to play for the club, they want to play for the manager. And I thought it was a massive, massive game because we were all talking about it. Where are we going to be vulnerable? Where are we going to be easy prey for Inter? We've showed that we're none of them. We showed that we're a team. And we've I think, thoroughly deserved a victory. One of the big European results of this match day six. Mm.
Go along with that, Miles.
One of our top away European performances for 3 years, where we've beaten teams away. Teams you'd expect to see us win away. That felt like a big victory, that. And for what it means in terms of the momentum, the belief, how it can turn things around in the Premier League, but also how it looks now, the Champions League table. We're in the top eight. That's where we want to be. We don't want to be in the playoffs and it starts affecting Premier League games, all that sort of stuff. So it's in our hands, and it's great to be in that position with two games to go.
One happy man will be Arne Slot. Let's hear from him now.
Well, Arne, there's never a bad time to win at a ground like this. Does this feel like a particularly good moment, though, to get a result and a performance like that?
Yeah, especially after Saturday, where it was almost impossible for us not to win. But we conceded in extra time a goal, so that was a big disappointment. Now, what happened afterwards was, I think, for the players difficult as well. So we first had the disappointment of conceding a goal. Then afterwards, a few things happened, as we know. And then it's the fourth game in 10 days for mainly the same players, because today we had 13 outfield players available with Champions League or Premier League experience. So for these players then to show so much resilience after all the disappointment we had, mainly again the one against Leeds conceding in the extra time, shows what a resilience they have and what a mentality the boys have.
When we spoke yesterday, you felt you'd been on the wrong side of some marginal VAR calls this season. Is it nice to be the other side of that? And did it seem fitting that Dominik Szoboszlai has perhaps been your best player this season, was the man to score the winner?
Now I think you forget something. Again, we're on the wrong side of a VAR intervention, which took 4 minutes for the VAR. And then usually, if it takes so long, the referee goes to the screen. But on the other hand, you also say if it takes 4 minutes, it's not clear and obvious. So for me, to disallow that goal was more of a strange decision than to give a penalty. But I'm honest, as I always try to be, if we would have gotten penalties for this shirt pull, we would have probably had 8 or 10 already this season. So it's not always that referees give penalties for this. Maybe in the Champions League the bar is a little bit lower than in the Premier League. So another disappointment with the VAR intervention in the first half. I think you could see this because the 6-7 minutes afterwards were the toughest one for us, where they also had the biggest chance of the game, maybe also their only chance of the game. So, but as you said, if I can choose, I prefer to come 1-0 up in the 86 minutes than in the 38 minutes. So all good in the end.
All good in the end, and particularly when you went to celebrate with the supporters and you were quick to point at the players. But it must be nice on a personal level to hear the fans singing your name tonight too.
Yeah, because if that's always a positive thing, it's always nice if they sing for me, but they were there for the players tonight as well. And I think the players deserved a lot of credits tonight, because like I mentioned a few times, mainly the same players have to play 4 games in 10 days, and that is not something that's usual in football. 3 games in 7 days, you hardly see 4 in 10, you even see less. So for our players to come in this stadium against such a strong team to show up the way we did, should be the biggest compliment, should go to our players and to our away fans who again travelled, who again supported the team that's not on the best run of form, although we didn't lose the last 4 games.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, all of the narrative will be piled on how big this is for Arne Slot. But as Rob said in the interview there, you know, he's getting the applause of the fans at the end. He points straight to the players.
Yeah.
They've played 4 games in 10 days. They've had to call a kid up really late. You know, the resilience that the players have shown, he says, is moreover the biggest achievement in all of this.
Oh, without a doubt. But that's what you expect from somebody who's I think, a decent man. I think, and who's handled these last few days extremely well. Finds the right words, which is so hard.
I'd only not done, in his native tongue either, by the way.
Yeah, I'd only done it sort of, and in my native tongue, I'd only done it for 6 months myself, and it's hard when they're searching and they're for you, but it's nice when you break it and you do something right. So I'm absolutely thrilled for him. I'm thrilled for the players, and he's quite right. The players have got to go out there, who've also been under great pressure from the results that we've had, and they've all performed.
It's been a big night. It's been a big night in the studio as well, because we aged some years next door watching that one tonight. But Kev, it's been great to have your company. Kev
Hatchard,
who is a European football expert, Liverpool fan as well. Phil Thompson and Neil Mellor, and of course to you at home for watching. 1:45 is the timer underway for a 3 o'clock kickoff this Saturday. You will have just recovered by then, as we hope for 3 points in the Premier League. Do sleep well, and thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.